Oh, hello there. It's the titular Matt Stewart letting you know that I'm going to be in Sydney, Australia, and then Brisbane, Australia, doing short runs of my show, Dryer Dryer. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May. Hey, but also, you might not know this, I'm doing a live Who Knew It with Matt Stewart in Sydney on the 13th of May and in Brisbane on the 14th of May. Holy moly, am I looking forward to these shows. Please get tickets for all of these now. If you use the discount code DOGOON, that might work. I'm not sure, but worth a try. Really hope to see you there. Sydney especially, please come along. Brisbane also, though you're buying tickets earlier, better. Sydney lift, please. All right, I'll see you soon now. On with the show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Who Knew It with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart, and our guest this week, firstly, is host of the Gamey Game Show. It's Evan Munro Smith.
Hello.
So you're the first guest. I said, and our guest this week.
I was surprised.
And then I was panicking.
If you were going clockwise, I'd be the second guest.
Well, I'm not going clockwise.
No.
No, I am going clockwise. You'd be the first guest.
All right, I'm thinking of an upside down clock.
Yeah. And if you were going alphabetically, if you're going alphabetically, you would have gone with me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
So you're not going clockwise or alphabetic. What system do you have?
No, I think he is going clockwise.
I am going clockwise.
Oh.
But I'm just going off the list that I've written it down in. And it was going to be Beck, but Beck's too busy. So instead, it is just Evan and Al.
Okay.
Great.
Who am I?
And our second contestant. Is the host of the Two in the Think Tank podcast. It's Alistair Trombley-Birchall.
Hi, everybody.
That's beautiful.
What does titular mean?
From the title.
Title.
The title of the show is Who Knew With Matt Stewart.
All right.
So I'm titular. The titular Matt Stewart.
Yeah,
right. I hope that's right. I've never really checked.
That would make
no
you,
one's put me up on it.
Yeah. No.
No, that's right.
I would have said title. Titleless.
That's a golf ball.
Yeah. The self-titled host.
Yeah.
Anyway, forget it.
Eponymous?
Eponymous.
Is it?
A beautiful animal.
Oedipus.
All right. The way the show works is I ask a relatively obscure question and our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one, and they have to guess which one is correct.
Okay.
Are we ready to play?
I just got ready, yeah. So okay. I'm ready now.
Oh, that was beautiful timing.
Yeah, great. I can do it.
All right, here's question number one. It comes from Candace Harrison from Tulare in California in the United States of America. And the question is, what is the definition of thrunter?
Whoa.
Thrunter.
Thrunter. What is the definition of thrunter?
Yeah, great.
Okay. And while you're writing your answers, I'll explain how the scoring works. So you get 1 point if your fake answer is guessed by the other contestant and another point if you correctly guess the answer. And by the way, I'm also playing as the house. I've put in two of my own fake answers for each question with the help of the question writers. And I get a point for each one of these that our guests choose. So each of us can score up to 2 points per round. It seems fair, but the probability actually favors me, the house. And the house always wins, though if you've been listening to recent episodes, you'll know this is not necessarily the case. Anyway, our questions come from our great Patreon supporters. And if you want to submit a question, sign up on any level via patreon.com/dogoonpod, linked in the show notes.
Matt, I had a question about your Patreon supporters.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have some that are not great?
No, certainly not. They're all great.
So is it
surely just statistically, though?
I mean, surely.
In the way that there's good doctors and bad doctors and things like that.
Oh, that was the worst thing to figure that out. I hated when I realized that, and I was at a charity auction, and it was they were introducing the keynote speaker, who was like this gun surgeon, and they said, just like plumbers, you'll get good ones and bad ones. This is one of the very best, and I'm like, oh no, I guess that's true. They're just people.
Yeah.
oh, it was the world. I was like fully an adult by then.
Yeah.
So it was good that I trusted them, you know, through my youth.
That's the two big revelations in life, finding out your parents are just people and then finding out doctors are just people.
Mm.
Doctors do more training than your plumbers, though, your parents. Unless your parents are doctors, then it's identical.
That's true. Plumbers go through a bit of, you know, they do quite a lot of.
Do they do med school?
They do quite a lot of med school. I don't think they go all the way. They don't do that final year.
They only mostly focus on the veins.
Yeah, the plumbers.
And the main veins.
Yeah. Some doctors are plumbers in a way.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Well, surgeons, Dr. Mario. You know, surgeons that deal with the plumbing of the body.
Mm.
Dr. Mario?
Yeah, Dr. Mario.
I guess that's
Well, Mario, like, I think he did a late career study and became a doctor.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Mario. Yeah. Of course, yeah, yeah. That's right. He was dealing with a lot of pills and stacking them up on top of each other.
As doctors tend to do. Yeah. All right, so the answers are in. Here is question number one. What is the definition of thrunter? Here are your five options.
Five.
A grueling CrossFit exercise, a sheep which has lived through three winters, a bar at the front of a four-wheel drive for pushing obstacles, a thrill seeker or thrill hunter, or a cable car that transports livestock between mountains. So you've got to choose.
Do I just give you my answer?
Well, if you've got one.
I'm going to go with the cable car.
Cable car, locking it in for Evan. I'll say that means it's down to you.
I'm going
to
go with...
You cannot, and I should say, because you haven't played before.
Yeah.
You can lock in the same answer as Evan if you like, or you can go your own way.
I also haven't played before. Can I lock in the same answer as Alistair?
Yes, Evan hasn't played, but you've been on the show before.
I have been on the show before.
But he didn't play.
No,
I
was in like a scorekeeper.
Oh, that's great.
He second banana'd me.
Yeah,
that's great. You didn't sort of play along a little bit in your head and just try and guess a little bit?
I had all the answers in front of me, so
I'm going to go, what was Evan's one?
Well, the one he chose or the one he wrote? He chose a cable car that transports livestock between mountains. Do you want to hear the other four?
No. That does sound good. Was there a bull bar one? Like a kind of like a car?
There was.
A bar on a car?
A bar on the front of a four-wheel drive for pushing obstacles.
Yeah.
For American listeners, four-wheel drive. What do you call them over in Canada?
Pickup trucks. Pickups.
You just slipped in your Canadian accent, did you?
Pickup.
I thought they were SUVs.
SUVs, pickup trucks, you know? We call them cars because, man, that's what a real car is up in Canada.
So you're going with a four-wheel drive one?
Yeah, I'm going with that one.
All right, let's go through who wrote the answers. Firstly, we had a grueling CrossFit exercise. That was written by The House, Candace in particular.
Oh, Candace House.
We had a thrill seeker or thrill hunter. That was also The House.
Really?
So you've avoided The House.
That's really good. It's nice to not touch The House.
A cable car that transports livestock between mountains. That's what Evan went for. That was written by Alistair Tremblay-Birchall. One point for Al there. A bar at the front of a four-wheel drive for pushing obstacles. That was written by Evan. So you traded points there. And the correct answer was a sheep that has lived through three winters.
That's really good.
A thrunter.
You know what? I actually had my doubt because of the four-wheel drive. As soon as we started having that conversation, I was like, Matt's just like, he's showing me I've made a mistake. It's obviously somebody from Two Larrys.
Yeah, Two Larrys.
Two Larrys. You know, they're not going to say four-wheel drive. I feel I should have backed out.
Well, you know, they might have just taken it off an Australian dictionary website.
I doubt that.
Well, yeah, I mean,
name one Australian dictionary.
What's the Australian one?
Is there one? Merriam-Webster? No,
it's not Merriam-Webster.
Oxford,
Macquarie.
Macquarie. That's the official Australian dictionary of Australia. I said Australia too much. All right, so that means after one round, The House is on 0 points.
Yes.
Alistair Tremblay-Birchall is on 1 point, and Evan Munro-Smith is also on 1 point.
Great.
I think this is the first time we've ever had two hyphenated names on the show.
Oh, really?
Wow. Isn't that great? Took us 15 episodes to get there. Yeah.
I wonder if it's ever gonna you're ever gonna beat that.
It'd be hard.
I don't think it would be.
I mean, I am in control if I do book the show.
Yeah.
So I probably could.
You can take that title away from me any day.
Yeah. Maybe the next week.
Ooh.
I'm gonna go for three.
Mm.
Are there three in Australian comedy?
Helena Bonham Carter.
I can get Helena on. I'll get Helena on the blower. Helena.
Helena.
Helena. G'day.
G'day. I got a weird question for you. It's from Mikey from Sang Luang. He says, what's a cock-a-?
Tuckum.
To Larry.
You're moving too much.
It's spelled T-U-L-A-R-E. So luckily, I would have said Tulare, but luckily Candace gave me the phonetical.
That's beautiful.
I'm fanatical about phonetical pronunciation. Feels weird early. Is this still, does this feel weird to you too?
Yeah. This actually is the most at home I felt for a long time.
All right, we're up to question number two. There's just seven questions.
We're up to two already.
We're racing through.
Oh my gosh.
And this one comes from Michael Nielsen from Signet in Tasmania.
Signet.
And Michael writes, apart from being a Union Army general in the US Civil War, what is Ambrose Everett Burnside remembered for? Apart from being a Union Army general in the Civil War, US Civil War, what is Ambrose Everett Burnside remembered for? And while you're writing your answers, here's some more information on Thrunters. And I should tell you, I really struggled to find much info. There was a lot of one-line definitions that I could find. It's mentioned briefly in the book An Etymological Dictionary of the Scottish Language by John Jamieson, written in 1825. So it seems like it's an old Scottish word, and the thr part of the word relates to three, i.e. three winters the sheep has lived through. I guess that means unta maybe was an old Scottish word for sheep, and apparently the same sheep could also have been called a fronter as it was now living in its fourth year, depending on what rule you used. Ooh. Candace, the question writer, also wrote that her sister named her dog Thrunter, a beautiful name for a boy or a girl, dog or human.
I think there was a thing in Korea where they recently had to change the way that – look, I've assumed this based on half a headline. I didn't get all the way through the headline. But I think where – you know, like I had an ex-girlfriend who was from Taiwan, and at one point she turned 20 or 25 or something like that, and then her mom told her, no, you're 26. And she went, what?
Really?
Yeah, but her mom was counting –
oh, you're entering your 26th year.
No, what? She was counting that the day you're born, you turn one.
Oh,
right. And I think maybe Korea might have had something like that. Right. And I think they've
That was just the normal thing that they did. Like yeah. That's how they measured.
Yeah, you're born one. You can't be zero. That's right. Nothing.
It is weird to be zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, you're not zero. You're a day or you're a few minutes. Or,
yeah. But know. I think they're just like, you start at one.
Yeah,
that's right. Just how you start, right? And so I think maybe there was a change recently like that, and so some people lost a year or you know.
I'd love to lose a year,
man. That was, for 1 year there, I thought I was 37 all year, and then I got to my birthday and I was like, I'm turning 37. I just gained a year.
You gained a year. Yeah, when I say lose a year, I mean lose a number on my age. I'd love to gain a year. Oh, imagine an extra year, the things you could do. all right, so here is question number two. Apart from being a Union Army general in the US Civil War, what is Ambrose Everett Burnside remembered for? Here are your five options. He accidentally besieged the Allied town of Vicksburg for 2 weeks. He holds the record for the oldest man to climb Mount Everest. He was the inventor of cod oil. Sideburns were named after him. Or he was the first general to deploy submarines in combat during the Civil War.
Yeah, right. But you see, that almost makes sense now. See, it's funny, but then you go, oh, maybe there was some kind of submarine. It's probably just submarines? Like a tube a guy would sit in.
A tube a guy?
And just like, and a guy would just sit in a tube, and then he'd go down deep, and then he'd hide there for ages.
Hang on, what's a tuba guy? Is that a guy who plays tuba?
No, hide in a tube.
Oh.
Not in a tuba.
Isn't it, in America, isn't that a potato?
That could be the case.
When did you leave America?
I left 97. And at that time, there were no tubers.
There were no potatoes there at the time. No,
they hadn't arrived yet. At that time, you would still just get an orange for Christmas.
Okay.
You know, and then it was a real treat until they'd made it worldwide.
Taters?
Yeah, oranges for Christmas. Is that North America?
No.
I
think that's more like our parents or generation or their parents.
Because that came up recently on a Do Go On bonus episode or something. We didn't know what it was talking about. Unless it was... We're thinking like those chocolate oranges, but it was just oranges.
It was just regular oranges because people were like, it was just like, it was not a common fruit.
I love an orange too.
I do love an orange.
I love an orange.
Yeah,
what are you, a naval guy?
I mean, I'll go whatever you can buy.
Yeah. I love the naval. Valencia, very popular.
Mm.
I think there was a push in Australia at one point. Maybe they the government or some agency told farmers, get in the Valencia business. It's about to boom.
Really?
And it didn't. They're not as good of an eating orange. They're more of a juicing orange.
Did you get that from The Simpsons? Maybe, I don't know. Because I think at some point Skinner has a bag of oranges. Yeah. Valencia, it's a juicing orange.
I don't think I did, but that is so funny.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever bought an orange before.
What? You've always been given oranges?
Yeah.
I don't know when I would ever.
What kind of blessed life do you live where you just walk around getting oranges given to you?
I think I only ever eat them when they're just around. It's just not something that I've ever think, maybe I'll buy an orange.
You were born in Mildura though, right?
No.
You were born in
Orange capital of Victoria.
You were born in Florida, though, right?
Orange capital of America.
You were born on the cover of the No Doubt album, right?
Which was called. It was called Evil Empire. Tragic Kingdom.
Evil Empire. It had an orange on the front?
It had a bunch of oranges. I think they might have all been rotten a bit.
Ah, I lie. There was that time I bought a bunch of oranges.
Okay, there you go. It seemed unlikely.
But I didn't eat any of them or juice them.
So you never ate a bored orange?
I don't think I have ever.
That almost sounds like a bit of wisdom.
To eat. You never eat a bored orange.
Evan never eats a bored orange.
Yeah, never eat a bored orange.
A bored orange.
I think I'm going to need to hear these options again.
Okay, well, yes, I forgot what we're doing. Okay. Ambrose Everett Burnside, what's he remembered for apart from being a Union Army general? He accidentally besieged the Allied town of Vicksburg for 2 weeks. He holds the record for the oldest man to climb Mount Everest. He was the inventor of cod oil. Sideburns are named after him. Or he was the first general to deploy submarines in combat during the Civil War.
And what was?
Oh, that's how we got onto this because the tubers.
Yeah. What was his? What was his name again?
His name was Ambrose Everett Burnside. Burnside, sideburn.
Could be.
Yeah, but I feel like that would be very facial hair dependent.
You mean,
you know, like
based on what he's, whether or not he.
Yeah.
Do you have any photos of him?
I mean, I do. If I Google it, I'm sure
he's. Does he have sideburns?
Yeah.
Are you able to give that information?
I don't know. I've never been asked such things. I can't picture him right now, but do you want me to Google?
It's okay.
I'm gonna say the first one, I think he besieged an Allied village?
Allied village of Vicksburg.
Mm. Yeah.
Evan's locking that one in.
I'm also locking that one in.
Ooh.
But I'm going to lock it in.
Oh, Scottish style.
Lock it in.
Your birth country.
That's right. Aberdeen.
Do you ever slip back into your Scottish accent?
Yeah.
How long were you there? Right. You left as a baby.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So you've both locked in option one. Let's go through the answers. He was the first general to deploy submarines. That was written by The House.
Yeah.
Including Michael. Great work from Michael there. He was the inventor of cod oil. That was Alistair. Because, of course.
That's pretty good.
Cod's invented cod
oil. I think that was my second.
That was your second. Oh, you're going to go for that?
But I was leaning that way.
He holds the record for the oldest man to climb Mount Everest. That was Evan Ronner Smith.
I actually was considering that one. That's a quite interesting. It's not as boring as the one I chose.
He accidentally besieged the Allied town of Vicksburg for 2 weeks. That was written by The House.
No!
Specifically, Michael, the question writer, meaning the correct answer is sideburns are named after him.
No way.
Wow.
Yep. No.
Yes. Why would I lie about this?
Well, you have nothing but to gain from it.
That's true. You are The House. I feel like you have a bias.
I've got a lot
here
to gain.
Like 2 points, right?
That is correct. And
so you're winning now.
After two rounds,
fuck,
the scores are Evan on 1 point, Alistair Trombley-Birchall on 1 point, but The House out in front on 2 points.
Do you feel a lot of hostility towards The House?
Do I feel? Well, I mean, I'm sort of one with The House.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't love it when The House wins.
No.
No.
Okay.
It's an uncomfortable position to be in.
Yeah. But you know, he's, like you said, the odds are in its favor.
Yeah. okay. Here we are with question number three. This one comes from Patrick J. Ryan from Branch Rock in MA. Where's MA?
Massachusetts.
Mature audiences.
Mature, yes.
Yeah.
It's Massachusetts, is it? Fantastic.
I guess so.
What a beautiful neck of the woods.
Michigan, no?
Michigan.
Michigan.
Michigan, no.
Majuli. Question number three. What was the nickname of former New England Patriots running back Ben Jarvis Green Ellis? Another hyphenated surname.
Wow.
Ben Jarvis is one name, first name, and then Green Ellis. Ben Jarvis. Green Ellis.
Green Ellis.
And while you're writing your answers here, I'll let the listeners know that today the three of us are on the last episode of Gamey Gamey Game for the year, the Christmas special. And if they want to check that out, they can go to the Stupid Old Channel on YouTube.
That's right.
My goodness.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Naomi Higgins is going to be at the desk as well.
Wow. It's going to be nice to see Naomi again.
Yeah, I haven't seen her since the last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think a lot has changed with Naomi?
I mean, you never know with Naomi.
You don't.
Yeah. Sometimes she's sort of just chilling at home, but then other times she's got a lot on.
That's really interesting. she's kind of unique in that way, I guess.
She can do it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's clearly leaning in, I reckon.
Yeah. Do you want to hear a bit more about Ambrose Everett Burnside and how
a little bit?
Is that a hyphenated name or is that just three names?
No, it's three names. I think maybe, you know, like serial killers in America always get their middle name brought to prominence.
It's because there's too many Ambrose Burnsides.
Yes.
Which one?
It's any sort of murderers or anyone who's had facial hair named after them.
Sure.
According to Merriam-Webster, the original sideburns were called Burnsides. Burnsides were a magnificent construction of facial hair, one to make any hipster jealous. I don't know if I like the Merriam-Webster going off in this sort of editorializing stuff.
Yeah, that's surprising.
I guess this is on their blog or something. It's not under the definition or whatever. Thick strips of facial hair growing down the cheeks and connecting to a full mustache, but with a clean shaven chin. Burnsides owe their existence to General Ambrose Burnside, a Civil War veteran, industrialist, innovator, and Rhode Island senator who died in 1881. This man, he did it all.
He did everything.
So I thought, I didn't realize sideburns necessarily connected to a mustache like what you have. I thought that was a mutton chop situation. Yours don't even.
No, I've got a Mervyn Hughes at the moment.
Okay, yep.
There's no connection up to the sideburn. But before his death in 1881, Burnside had become a household name, but not for any of these things, but for his luxuriant facial hair. Burnside's facial hair was so notable that the name Burnside Whiskers came to be used to refer to his mustache side whiskers combo. So this Burnside was for the mustache sideburns thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Burnside, so notable, had a palpable influence not just on men's grooming but on English. Under the rule of the Burnside, the name for the long strips of facial hair worn in front of the ears and along the cheeks were no longer called side whiskers but came to be called sideburns, a play on Burnside. So the mustache connector were Burnsides, and they're like, hey, this name's got more work to do. We could picture it like an orange. We could squeeze a little more juice out of this.
Mm.
So that's how they came Delicious. To be called Sideburns. It's quite strange, really, because they already had a name, Sidewhiskers.
Yeah. I always find, and this is somehow not really that related, but you know when you're driving and sometimes, do you ever forget how to say overtake? I'm going to overtake that car. And then I always go, I'm going to take over that car. And I go, wait, take over. Why does that sound so weird? I'm going to take over. Go and take over that car. Wait, that's not right.
All of a sudden, you're like telling someone to grab the wheel. Mm. You've went down the window. You're about to leap across.
The Grand Theft Auto situation.
Yeah, but then what I mean is overtake. And so maybe it's one of those situations. Yeah. You're like burn, side burn. Is that right? I've got all the right words.
Yeah.
I mean, how many fucking orders can this be in anyway?
I think it's probably exactly like that.
You think so?
All right, here's question number three. What was the nickname of former New England Patriots running back Ben Jarvis Green Ellis? Ellis Island, The Law Firm, The Concrete Corvette, Slippery Dick, or The Sizzler? Was it before we started recording?
I
was explaining the show to Alan saying these are some of the kinds of questions you could come up with. One of them might be, what's this person's nickname? And Al said, The Sizzler. And I said, well, you've burnt that now. It can't be used, but somehow it's appeared here.
Yeah, I don't know.
So your options, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. What was his nickname? Ellis Island, The Law Firm, The Concrete Corvette, Slippery Dick, or The Sizzler?
I think Evan's gone first both times, Al. You want to jump in here?
No. No. you know, I'm going to go with the concrete Corvette.
The concrete Corvette for Alistair.
Was he a football player?
He was, played in the NFL.
NFL, National Football.
For the Patriots. So probably in like the Tom Brady team, maybe. Mm.
Okay, so it's either that or the law firm. I'm going to go with the concrete Corvette.
Concrete Corvette.
It seems weird to refer to one person as a firm.
Yeah, but you don't know why yet.
Yeah, see? That's true. Maybe he's multiple people.
Yeah.
And studies law.
Mm.
Or practices law.
His name, remember, is Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Ah, yeah, that's a good point.
I think that's the point, that it sounds, you know, like there's multiple names on a law firm.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, okay.
I mean, that does sound like that's what the house would think.
Yeah. I'm going to go Slippery Dick. Why not?
Hey, why not?
You can't make that up.
You can't. No one's made that up. That's just their nickname he got at birth. All right, let's go through the answers. Ellis Island, that was written by the house, Patrick in particular. The Sizzler was written by Evan.
Thank you.
I mean, you almost got me, Evan.
What are the odds? Slippery Dick, that was written by Al. So one point for Al.
You can make that up.
The Concrete Corvette, that was written by the house.
No!
I thought that was so ridiculous.
I don't know. I mean, it's Corvette, it's an American car.
Yeah.
It's like you're playing football. There was that guy in Australia called The Brick with Eyes.
Yeah, that's true. And the fridge. There's a lot of those sort of names. Yeah, that's true. But I'm like, a Concrete Corvette, that wouldn't be able to move. And this guy's a running back. But you're right. It makes sense. He'd just be someone who could just barge through.
Yeah.
And it was a bit sleek.
Mm.
It's actually a really good one I've come up with.
Yeah.
And I think I should call the NFL and let them know. So the correct answer was the law firm.
God damn.
Too easy.
Yes, and I assume it is for the reason I said, right? I couldn't figure out. No one spelt it out, but I assume that's why.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Law firms over there have all got those sort of long names, I think. If watching those comedy drama shows that are set in law firms,
sure,
anything to go by.
Yeah, and the ones that you see here as well.
Do we have law firms here?
I think they
name one.
Bring them over.
Name one.
Maurice Blackburn.
Oh, that's true. But yeah, but that's only a double namer. Is there any quads?
There was I've just got to
think. All right, so what does that mean? One score for me, 1 point for me. Sorry, 1 point for the house, not me.
Not you.
And 1 point for Alistair Tremblay Birchall, meaning the scores are now Evan Munro Smith on 1 point, ATB on 2 points, but out in front it's still the house on 3 points.
1, 2, 3.
But there's we're not even halfway yet. It is still anyone's game.
I love that.
Evan, you could get 2 points right here, right now, and rocket yourself into the lead.
That's true, I could.
Some sort of concrete Corvette.
Wait, how can Evan get 2 points?
If I guess the right answer and you guess my answer,
then I would get two points.
Yeah, that's the trick.
Yeah.
You can do it. You shouldn't do the joke ones.
No.
I mean, I
thought mine was a joke one.
In the ideal world, you do a joke one that gets picked, like Al and I just did. I thought Concrete Corvette was funny.
Yeah.
But it turns out it wasn't that funny. The more Al explained it to me, the more I realized that is quite a good running back nickname.
Yeah. it's quite stupid they called him the law firm.
I'm picturing a concrete Corvette just like, there's a guy who's just spent $100,000 on a car and he can't move.
Yeah.
The weird's all stuck together.
I mean, you're not really believing in the Corvette power.
That's true.
Yeah.
What, 3-4 horsepower?
At least.
The power of 3 or 4 horses in one car? Freaking hell.
You know one horse has got more than one horsepower?
I did not know that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's really great. I assumed it would have just been about one horse.
No. You're, that's very naive.
That is naive. I don't know about
you're thinking
anything.
Of a pony.
Oh, okay. Pony power.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here is question number four. This one comes from Jim Bates from Sackett's Harbor in New York. And Jim's question is, what did Frankie Muniz, aka Malcolm from Malcolm in the Middle, tweet on the 13th of September 2019? What did Frankie Muniz tweet on the 13th of September 2019? While you're writing your answers, here's a little bit more information about the law firm. It's not known who came up with the nickname. The first time Green Ellis himself heard it was on TV. He's not even sure who came up with it. According to Patrick, who wrote the question, Ben Jarvis played six seasons in the NFL and never once fumbled the ball. Bonus fun fact, other former Patriot players are Ty Law and Lawyer Malloy. So law, lawyer, and law firm all played on the same team. Now, I've got to tell you, Patrick, that's a fun fact.
You know who loves fun?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
All right, here's question, I believe, number four. What did Frankie Muniz tweet on the 13th of September 2019? An accidental nude photo. Some say my career peaked when I was 13, but I'm actually peaking right now. Bracket, the MDMA is kicking in. I know I've probably tweeted this before, but damn, I love sausage. Fun fact, at Bryan Cranston also cooked meth on the set of Malcolm in the Middle, or kefefe.
Interesting.
Okay, so five.
Yeah.
The thing with a tweet is it really could be anything. I don't think you could write a nonsense answer here that would put you out of the running.
Also, but also none of them would seem notable enough.
Yeah,
in the
right.
scheme of tweets.
To like put into a show.
You don't think a nude photo would be notable?
But did he tweet the words? He posted a nude photo, or did he post a nude photo?
I mean, and you only have to remember it's only got to be notable enough for Jim Bates from Sackett's Harbor.
Yeah, that's true. That's Jim true.
Yeah,
Bates.
Yeah.
And then I guess me.
When you're writing trivia questions, you go down some rabbit holes.
Mm.
Yeah. And then the idea about the guy cooking meth on the thing.
Yeah.
You know, like what, you know, now we're really, it's really a question of what would really yank Matt's chain, you know? What really gets Matt going?
Yeah. Okay.
You know, does he love a Donald Trump reference? You know, is that his
Which
thing?
Is kefefe?
I think so. Yep. Yeah. That's
like, what Trump tweeted that, but way later. Maybe Trump was referring to Frankie Muniz.
It could be it.
Later than 2019?
Oh, was it 2019?
2019. Okay. I think he must have done that. Like even maybe before he was president?
Yeah, no, it was 2016 or something.
So you're quickly just going through them again. Accidental nude photo, the one where he basically did a pun about peaking on MDMA, saying how much he loves sausage, tagging in Bryan Cranston and saying that he cooked meth on Malcolm in the Middle because that's what he did on Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Or Kefefe.
Now that career one, about career peaking, about he says, some people say my career peaked. But then he says the MDMA. Now, is his career on MDMA or is he doing MDMA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful question.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. But I'll think about that. I'm gonna say the nude photo.
Nude photo for Al.
I'm going to go Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston.
One. Could be notable. I don't know.
Oh, no. I reckon Evan must have posted the nude photo one.
I don't post nude photos, Al.
I know, but
not anymore.
Not on purpose, anyway.
All right, let's go through the answers. Kefefe, that was Alistair Trombley-Birchall. The MDMA one, that was the house.
That reeked of house.
An accidental nude photo, that was Evan. So a point to Evan.
No.
Fun fact, Bryan Cranston also cooked meth on the set of Malcolm in the Middle. That was also the house.
Ah.
The correct answer was, I know I've probably tweeted this before, but damn, I love sausage. You don't think that's noteworthy?
Yeah, it probably is noteworthy, actually.
Sure.
Yeah, it was the one I forgot, you know?
I'd forgotten. I was like, oh, there's another one?
Right.
It's the one that got away.
So that means 1 point to Evan. 1 point to the house.
What'd the house get again?
The house got the
MDMA.
Oh, MDMA.
Oh, no, the meth cooking one. The one you picked.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So that means the scores are Evan on 2 points, Alistair on 2 points, but the house out front on 4 points.
Far out.
out. Far out.
Three rounds to go. You really need to. You know that I don't want to win.
We've got to lift our game.
And you both do want to win, so we could all leave unhappy here. This is in your hands.
Yeah, right.
Here's question number five. This one comes from Brianna in Queensland.
Brianna.
Which of these is a real species of spider? Which of these is a real species of spider? So basically all you've got to do here is give me the name of a fake made-up spider. And while you're writing your answers, here's some more information.
Can't give you a real species of spider?
Ideally, it's not a real species of spider.
Okay. What if I accident? No. Okay.
I mean, you could stumble upon it.
That's true. There's a lot of species out there.
That's true. Here's some more info about Frankie Muniz's tweet. It had over 60,000 likes and 11,000 retweets. And you two are thinking this wasn't noteworthy?
No, you're right. I think the like and sausage thing is noteworthy.
People loved hearing about it. And he said, I've probably tweeted about this before. I looked it up. He hadn't ever tweeted before. I love sausage. But it, 9 years earlier, on the 2nd of December 2010, he tweeted in all caps, waffles and sausage, waffles and sausage, waffles and sausage, waffles and sausage, waffles and sausage. Waffles and sausage. Yum.
You know, I've never had waffles and sausage. That's a combo I've never
don't really do savory waffles here, or really waffles at all.
You know, me and my family, we've become big waffle people.
Really?
On special occasions, usually.
Well, it's a big Canadian thing, isn't it? Waffles and bacon?
Up in Canada, we do have ourselves some waffles. We call them Eggos.
Slipping into that thick Canadian accent. Yeah.
So, but it's because of a TV show called Steven
Waffle.
Universe.
Oh, Steven Universe. I thought it was going to be called Waffles.
And in Steven Universe, they make together breakfast, which is a bunch of waffles, and then there's popcorn on it, and then there's whipped cream, and then there's chocolate sauce.
Oh, wow.
And then strawberry.
I guess that's good.
It's genuinely way less sweet than you would think.
Yeah, it sounds too much.
But think about it, because a lot of it is popcorn.
Yeah, popcorn. That's salty.
Yeah, it's not a sweet popcorn. It's a salty pop.
Yeah, sweet popcorn sucks. All right, so the answers are in. Here's question number five. Which one of these is a real species of spider? The arachnid, sparkle muffin spider, the sanitary quibbler, spy versus spider, or the Murray River longback?
Who sent this in?
This was sent in from Brianna from Queensland.
Oh, I'm just going to need to hear them one more time.
Yeah. The arachnid, sparkle muffin spider, the sanitary quibbler, spy versus spider, or the Murray River longback?
The Murray River longback seems almost, you know, it seems like it's there to bait you and make you go.
Much like a spider might get you caught in its web.
Yeah. It's so sticky, that one. God, I want to pick it.
But, I mean, man, there's some strange spider names out there, though, aren't there?
I think a lot, when you were sidekicking on this, on that episode, there was another weird spider name.
Yeah, it's a good trivia one.
It's called like
one.
The turd burglar or something.
Yeah.
Well, look, I think it can't, I don't think it's going to be spy versus spider. you know, but the one that I, for some reason, it's catching me in its web, other than the long back, is the sparkle muffin.
Okay.
You know, because you could understand that there could be a, you know, there could be a fun little, you know, scientist in there who just loves sparkles.
Yeah.
Loves muffins.
You know?
Yeah.
Scientists love muffins.
You know, there's a lot of scientists that have strange colored hair.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know?
Some of those sort of, what do they call them when they're not symmetrical haircuts?
Asymmetrical
haircuts.
Now, of course, we're not talking about a symmetrical haircut.
Some sort of middle part.
Yeah.
Scientist, no.
So hard to explain when you want to tell somebody, well, this person had a symmetrical haircut.
But I mean, when you think about it, a symmetrical haircut would also, I mean, most normal haircuts would be asymmetrical.
Mm.
Something like a mohawk or something would be symmetrical. For example,
asymmetrical
would
haircut.
Be asymmetrical haircut.
were you locking? So you've got it down to two. Which way are you going to go?
I'm gonna sparkle muffin.
Sparkle muffin for Al.
So I'm getting fakied here.
What was the third one?
Sanitary quibbler.
What was sanitary the fourth one?
Quibbler. Fourth one was spy versus spider. Fifth one was the Murray River longback.
What was the second one?
Sparkle muffin spider.
What was the third one?
The sanitary quibbler or sanitary quibbler.
I'm gonna go with that one for some reason.
Sanitary quibbler.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, let's go through.
I can't reason my way into it. I can't.
Well, often these.
I don't think it's a reasonable answer.
You can't
answer,
always reason your way in. Yeah, these ones especially can't always be reasoned. All right, here are the writers of the answers.
Mm-hmm.
The Murray River longback. That was Evan Munro Smith.
I knew that was a sticky web.
Should have gone sillier.
Spy versus spider. That was the house.
Yeah, felt like house.
The arachnid. That was also the house.
That also reeked of house.
Because we did Dave Warnicki and me did a corporate quiz for a Christmas end of year party this week. And I asked this question there. And someone did the Barack Arachnid. And I'm like, that's so fun to say. I'm like, but I can't directly rip it off.
No, of course.
So I'll just nearly rip it off.
Sure.
The sanitary quibbler. That was Al. Yeah. Meaning the sparkle muffin spider was correct, meaning Al gets 2 maximum points.
That felt really good. That felt really good. I got 2 points?
You got 2 because you guessed it right and Evan got your...
You fooled me.
Yeah, no, that was, yeah. I don't know how I did that, but that was truly good. And you almost fooled me.
Yeah,
you could see me. You could feel the vibrations in the strands.
I think if it was a more straight, version of this game and everyone liking, you weren't picking such ridiculous answers, that sort of stuff, then the Murray River longback, And depending on the player, that would often get guessed, I think.
Yeah.
You were just unlucky that Al had this whole blue hair theory.
If there were, yeah. If there's one or two more like normal sounding ones.
Yeah.
Anyway, you live and you learn.
Yeah. But you can't because it's going to change every time. You don't know what else is going to be.
You actually can't learn.
You can't learn. Okay. Yeah. All right. No, that's good to know.
And you
can't
are
learn.
Dead.
Don't try. I think the first time I ever heard about waffles, I know we're backtracking here, was another Simpsons reference where it goes, sticking together is what good waffles do.
And those actually did look like Eggos.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Eggos were kind of like a frozen waffle that you could get. I think you can probably still get them in the
store. I know that from Stranger Things.
Oh, I haven't watched it. I had to watch it.
You haven't watched Stranger Things?
I had to watch a 15-minute summary of the first 3 seasons so I could write sketches about it.
Okay.
Parodies of the show.
Great.
I look forward to those deep references you use.
Well, you got to remember that the general public may not have seen it, so you have to write sketches that people can...
Okay.
Can understand that it's part of the thing, but then the sketch still somehow works.
You're the perfect man
I've
for the job.
I've got the perfect amount of info in my head for it.
I know too much to do something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have 2 questions left, 2 rounds left. Let's do a quick score check. We've got Evan on 2 points, but now into equal first, it's Alistair on 4 points with the house on 4 points.
Yes.
Still anyone's game. If Evan pulls out a double point around, we'll go into the final round all locked up.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you pull out 2 double pointers.
Oh, my God. You'll run away with it. It's like some sort of concrete Corvette. Question number 6 comes from Jessica and Stephen Gruber from Kent. In Washington, in the United States. The question is, what happened in Florence, Oregon on the 12th of November, 1970? What happened in Florence, Oregon on the 12th of November, 1970? Not too far, I assume, from Kent, Washington, because I think Oregon and Washington border each other up on the Pacific Northwest.
Mm.
It's a Bigfoot country up there. And Fraser from... The show Fraser is also from up there.
Really?
What? Well, the show's based in Seattle in Washington.
I guess that makes
Seattle.
Sense.
I'm listening. And while you're writing those answers, here's some more info on the sparkle muffin spider. According to Live Science, it was only discovered in 2015 when this article was written. 2 gorgeous new species of peacock spiders nicknamed Skeletorus and Sparkle Muffin have been discovered in Australia, according to a new report. Peacock spiders are so named because of their bright colours and their dance-like courtship rituals. The 2 new species were found in southeast Queensland by Madeline Gerard, a graduate student at the University of California, Berkeley, who studies peacock spiders, and a friend who went with her into the field. Gerard affectionately gave the nickname Sparkle Muffin to one of the species, which sort of Latin name is Maratus jactatus, which has bluish and reddish stripes on its abdomen. Live Science spoke to Jürgen Otto, an entomologist, about the discovery, and Otto admitted that because Sparkle Muffin was somewhat similar to other peacock species he had seen before, he was not too excited about it at first, but then became fonder of it. It was in particular its docile nature and soft, heady bear-like appearance that really charmed me, he said. It was a fun spider to work with. I'll show you a picture of it, Al.
This better not be that Ambrose guy with the big mustache. I don't know why I'm saying that.
They look very similar, actually. The Sparkle Muffin. Imagine in a different world. Could have been called the Sparkle Muffin instead of Sideburns.
This is one of those dancing, these like jumping dancing.
Peacock ones.
Yeah, I love these.
How cool does that look?
Yeah, they're beautiful.
It's so beautiful. Sparkle Muffin, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't give me Sparkle Muffin vibes.
Right.
But I love that he's called it that still. I think for me, Sparkle Muffin, you got to hit more of those kind of turquoises and pinks.
Yeah, okay.
That's nice, though. That's beautiful.
Yeah, what a beautiful spider. And so furry as well.
Yeah, I wonder if they're all pretty furry.
Yeah, I guess they are. Because that's how they hear or something, is it? Because of their hairs?
If that joke by Daniel Connell is to be believed, and I believe Daniel Connell has just released a comedy special on YouTube.
He has, that's right.
So you can check that out. And you can also check Matt Stewart's new special on YouTube and Jack Druce's.
Bloody hell. Mm. A lot of free comedy up for grabs. All right, it looks like your answers are in. Are you ready for question number 6? What happened in Florence, Oregon on the 12th of November, 1970? Have you been to Oregon, Al? It's quite close to Canada.
Oregano.
Well, back when I was in Canada, we occasionally went down to New York State, where my uncle lived. He would take us to Vermont.
Right. Home of the creamy.
That's right.
Did you ever creamy?
I have not had a single creamy.
What's a creamy?
It's the Vermont's, one of their signature dishes. It's some sort of soft-served ice cream type thing. Oh, no.
Well, in Canada, we call it a milky.
A soft serve ice cream, is that what you said?
Yeah, some sort of soft serve.
Like what you get at McDonald's,
I've only seen pictures, but I believe supposedly they're better.
Better than a soft serve.
Yeah, I think it's better than
even
a soft serve.
How is it not just an ice cream? I don't understand.
I don't really either.
Alistair?
Well, from my understanding, it's very creamy.
Yeah.
It's very soft.
That's probably the key.
Is it liquid?
It's that beautiful scent liquid that you want in all ice cream.
All right, so question 6. What happened in Florence, Oregon? And you can use any of that information you just got from Alistair there, Evan, to make your choice. What happened in Florence, Oregon on the 12th of November, 1970? They had their Veterans Day parade a day late due to the main street being double booked. A beach whale carcass was blown up using dynamite. Local hippie Daryl Dreamstein cut his hair, unofficially ending Oregon's extended summer of love. A mysterious aircraft crashed into a cornfield and was never officially identified and is still rumored to be a real UFO. Or finally, Martin Connery's helicopter tangled in some power lines while landing was launched into a children's hospital, killing 3 kids.
Oh, that's grim.
But you got to find balance. Evan, it can't all just be kids living their lives.
Yeah. Okay, all right, yeah.
It's going to be some notable event.
Yeah.
Sure, you know, you're right.
You know, it can't all just be guys getting their hair cut.
All right, so quickly again, your 5 options. The Veterans Day Parade was double booked. Blown up whale carcass. The hippie having his hair cut, Daryl Dreamstein. The UFO being discovered. Or the helicopter getting tangled and launched into a hospital. Maybe because you are, you're pretty close to the source here.
Yeah, sure. I guess I should go first in that case. What's the name of the town again?
The town is called Florence in Oregon.
Florence in Oregon. Mm. Seems like the kind of place where there might be a hospital tragedy. I'm going to go with the whale carcass. Even the way I think Oregon is inland, isn't it? I don't know.
I think it's on the northwestern.
I'm going to go with the whale.
Am I right in saying that, Evan?
I don't know geographically where it is.
I'm pretty sure. I think it's the furthest most on the northwest, or it's just below. Maybe Washington is, and then it's the one just below Washington State. Okay. I think.
All right. Well, I'll just give it a go.
What do you reckon, Evan?
Well, see, this is tricky. I mean, I know the whale thing. That's a true thing that happened, but I don't know if it happened there and then.
Yeah. Mm.
That's the thing that I'm, and I don't want to say the same thing that Alistair said. Because there's no way to get ahead.
Yeah, you want to get the double points. Yeah.
Ideally. So it's a high risk. So
you're trying to chase your losses.
Because that's what I would have gone with if Alistair had.
Another round to go.
I mean, that's helping me. That's helping me.
Then. Yeah.
That's not what he chose.
That's true. But you're locked in now anyway, so.
You could see if you think that's a point there, right? You've got a point here and you've still got a chance to get two in the final round. But if you... If it is correct, Al gets a point. You choose something else, perhaps Al's one or a house one.
Yeah,
but right. But maybe this isn't the right one. But I'm just saying,
what the game is. Yeah,
I'm just saying, go with the one you think is correct would be still the best strategy.
Okay, right. says the guy that knows what the answer is.
That's what the only problem is. You've got to just have another think. Which one do you think is the correct one? And I'd pick that one. All right. So your options. The Veterans Day Parade, the blown-up whale, Daryl Dreamstein having his hair cut, the UFO being discovered, or the helicopter killing kids.
Give me the parade.
Oh, wow.
So you think they had the Veterans Day Parade a day late due to the main street being double booked?
Sure, why not?
You're locking that in?
That could happen.
I love the ballsiness of this move.
Why would Alistair think of this?
Hey.
I'm going against the one that I know happened. I've seen footage. Yeah. But I'm betting that happened somewhere else or on a different day.
I'm hoping that's not the case.
All right, let's see who wrote the answers. So we had Marvin Connery's helicopter tangled in some power lines, killing kids. That was written by Alistair.
Right.
Yeah, it's certainly not one I would ever include.
No? I mean, I thought you were going to put some interesting ones in there.
As a clue for future players, usually they won't include real.
Sounds like something that probably will have happened at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I might not include that detail.
For future players, would you include stories where an adult has died?
Sure.
Yeah, great. Okay.
They're free game.
It's nice to know where
they've lived
is.
A life. Yeah. Okay. It's less sad.
How old? Like, how old a teenager? Would you do teenagers?
No, teenagers.
No? What about 19? I know that's
still teen. I'm still counting that as a teen.
Yeah. Okay.
What's the legal age on this podcast?
The legal age on this podcast. In what way?
Well, because here, you know, like the drinking age is like 18, but in America it's 21, right?
Right. Yeah. So, but on this podcast, what's the legal drinking age?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Like if you were with the youngest person you would allow to drink on this podcast.
Right. With or without a guardian?
With a guardian.
Is anyone appearing on here with
their parents? Will they be eating a meal? They're eating a full meal. They've got a guardian.
When does the meal come into it?
I think there are some state laws in Australia where you can be
16,
you can have a drink with a meal with a parent. I don't know what I'm talking about. I think that's something. Mysterious aircraft crashed in a cornfield. That was written by Evan. Oh, that was a great one, Evan.
Thank you.
No kids died.
Yeah, that almost got me. I was interested in that.
It sounded realistic, but if you don't think too much about it. Like if it actually, how would they not know someone's investigated this, haven't they?
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
Local hippie Daryl Dreamstein cut his hair. That was the house.
See, I think it was the name.
I try for most of these, and you've guessed one at least. I'd try and have one of my house answers being pretty much unguessable.
Sure. Yeah. But also,
but not unguessable, just a bit of fun.
But you know what? It's like, because the name is silly. But then at the same time, you go, well, he's from the hippie thing. Mm.
Might
have changed his name.
But the name didn't even tweak to me. I thought that didn't sound that crazy to me.
I think I often, because people guess the ones I think are unguessable all the time. Yeah. And I think I just, you forget that in this scenario, nothing really sounds that ridiculous.
Yeah, I think that's why I've been trying to just write ones that just seem middle of the road,
So that means one of you is correct.
Uh-oh.
But it's not Evan.
Oh.
The Veterans Day Parade being double booked, that Main Street being double booked, that was the house.
It was a high-risk strategy.
There was.
Going for the one that I knew happened.
Yes, or not going for it.
Yeah, not going for the one
because
that
the
knew
one
happened.
You knew happened did happen, and it happened on the 12th of November 1970. A beach whale carcass was blown up using dynamite. So Alistair Tremblay-Pirchall gets 1 point. The house gets 1 point. Quick score update here.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe that. So there's a beach there, obviously. There is. It is a coast. It's not as inland as Alistair suggested
it might be. There could be Oregon surfers.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You know, I think it's not too far for Dr. Fraser Crane to go.
No, that's true.
Kurt Cobain. All these. I mean, then none of them are from Oregon, but all I know is that Seattle's kind of nearby.
Sure.
Portlandia.
A couple of states away.
Maybe a couple of the characters from Portlandia.
Of course, right on.
They might be surfing, right on, man. Right. Okay. So the quick score update, Evan Munro-Smith on 2 points. But out in front on 5 points, it's ATB in the house.
Can you believe it? It feels so good.
Anyone's game.
I'm not normally.
Is it anyone's game?
Well, now it is not anyone's game because you can get 2 points per round, Evan, and you are now down 3 points going into the final round. Although, that is a good point. Occasionally, people do request triple points for the final round. You can, this is more of a break.
So I could, what
glass
am I on?
In
what,
case of an emergency.
What am I currently on?
You're on two.
Right. So best case, if I request the triple. Oh, but with the triple, the maximum six.
That's right.
Right. Okay.
So if you get the maximum six and Al and the house get nothing, you win. Al, I don't know, but maybe you can blackball this if you like.
Can I request the triple points?
Yeah, sure.
I was going to anyway. So I
would love to win by a much bigger margin.
Okay. Well, funnily enough, that is what nearly has. I think that's happened every time. I think this has only happened twice before.
I would love to
times.
At least be in the game still.
That's true. Sure. It's nice to make the game anyone's game, but it does always end up with whoever's leading just winning by more.
Does it nullify the whole rest of the show up until this point?
No, because you've still got to make the points back. You've got to play riskier.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Good.
I think, as people who live in the present, we can mistreat everybody in the past as much as we want.
That's true.
Including our past selves.
Okay, sure. You know?
I'm not a fan of it. And it doesn't take long. I've said things in this episode that I'm like, that guy.
Yeah, I'm glad
what a clown.
Because if he was still here,
I've got a couple
of fists for him.
Yeah.
Couple of fist sandwiches.
And not friendly ones either.
No, that's right. Not ones like where you bump.
No.
Very lightly.
Yeah, not at all.
And not even sparring. It's going to be an actual fight.
Yes.
With your face. Fists versus face.
So we're up to the final question, question seven. We're now playing for triple points, meaning it's anyone's game. And the question is, we always finish with some sort of synopsis one, normally a movie synopsis, and this week is no different. The question comes from Cheryl Dean from Huntingdon in the United Kingdom.
Mm.
And Cheryl's question is, what is the synopsis of the 1988 film The Lair of the White Worm? What is the synopsis? The 1988 film, The Lair of the White Worm.
Lair of the White Worm.
It's a very, isn't it an evocative title?
Mm.
You know what, like just hearing it, you know what it is.
Lair.
There's a lair.
Now that's the English word lair, and it's not like L apostrophe A-I-R, like from the French, like to imply like the air.
No, it's not that at all. Okay. You're right. It's the English lair.
Okay.
More like somewhere where a bad guy might hang out. Is that what a lair is? Mm, or just anyone would hang out.
Depends whose lair
like,
it is.
Like a white worm. True.
Could be.
Would hang out.
Yes.
Maybe, yeah.
Is but it
maybe
a good white worm?
But maybe the white worm is a guy.
Maybe it's a metaphor.
Oh, that's
like
true.
Like the white whale.
That's true. Is that a metaphor? I thought it was actually like
no,
a
that was.
Whale.
I think it was both.
Okay, right. I suppose.
I think it's become a metaphor, right? That's my white worm.
Yeah, that's my
worm. Success in life. That's my white worm.
That's right. It's my white lair.
While you're writing your answers down, and I can see Evan's already tippity-tapping away, here's some more information about the whale explosion, according to Jessica and Stephen. A 45-foot or 13.716-meter sperm whale weighing about 8 tons washed up on the shore. And when the smell began to drive tourists away, the local highway department, which feels like the wrong department, right? If you're trying to blow up an aquatic beast, do you call in the highway patrol?
You get the waterway.
Sure. You get the water rats in.
Yeah.
you know, Jay LaGuire.
Boat.
Yeah, the boat.
The boat.
Yeah, the guy drives the boat.
The sort of the seal unit.
Yeah, get the seals out.
Yeah.
Either the animals or the people, the Navy SEALs. Anyway, so in this case, they've gotten the local highway department. I wonder if this will go wrong. And they chose to blow it up with approximately half a ton of dynamite. I don't know, as a scientist, Al,
Yeah. Is
half a ton of dynamite, do you think that would be enough for 8 tons of whale? What's the ratio you'd normally work with?
Yeah, well, okay, well, when I did my aquatic mammal exploding course at university. I think it was usually a smaller fraction because the blowing up, you know, it ends up doing so much blowing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's actually much bigger. It's like popcorn, you know, you put the corn kernels in, but it actually ends up, they pop.
Right.
And they take up much more space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they kind of dissolve in your gut and it doesn't kind of come out like corn normally does.
Right. You know? Okay. I did not see your answer going there.
Yeah, no, because, you know, like corn doesn't digest right. All that well, but popped corn does. Uh-huh. That would be insane if it kind of, the kernels like that still didn't digest. So there's something, and I think that's the similar thing with the explosions in mammals.
I feel like I've distracted you from your writing now. If your answer somehow in the middle goes off about popcorn,
yeah,
you probably are going to give the game
it's
away.
A popcorn movie.
They go on. The explosion resulted in the larger than intended pieces landing not over the ocean, as everyone had hoped, but instead raining down all over the town.
I mean, it really is what you would expect if you describe blowing up with dynamite.
Well, now you would.
But
that's only because of this is that's what you would expect.
Like, what did they think? I mean, I think that so the idea was, because I'm somewhat familiar, I've seen the footage of it, it's pretty amazing. But I guess the idea was to blow it up towards the sea.
Yeah.
And which would obviously have gone fine. But for whatever reason, it didn't. It was too much. I think it was too much explosive.
Potentially.
I think that might have been it. But yeah, it's just large chunks of whale.
Yeah, they were just dropping everywhere. One big chunk landed on a Cadillac, which blew out the windows.
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus. Do you think that they should have gone for the more, you know, the one that's more common in buildings, you know, the implosion?
Oh, yeah.
You know, they think they could have gone for that with the whale?
What's the little blast
collapsing
inwards
on itself? And then maybe just sort of hangs out in rubble on the ground.
So you wouldn't, in that case, you don't want to get the road patrol, highway patrol. You want to get some sort of, you know, like a building maintenance guy.
Yeah, like a demolition. Yeah.
Like a handyman.
A handyman. All right, well, it looks like your answers are in. So here is the final question. What is the synopsis of the 1988 film The Lair of the White Worm? Here are your five options. A down-on-his-luck caretaker who makes a living by selling valuables buried with the deceased struggles to survive after the cemetery is infested with worms. You can only assume white worms.
Mm.
Well, we don't know that. It could only be only the leader.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A low-budget knockoff of Indiana Jones following a swashbuckling grave robber named Montana Jackson. Now, I know swashbuckling is often done on the sea, isn't it?
Yeah, that's just more of a pirate sort of a term. But
I guess they had to differentiate themselves from Indiana Jones somehow.
Yeah, okay.
But he's some sort of land pirate.
But there must be some land swashbuckling.
Yeah. You know, like skateboarding used to be called concrete surfing.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just terrestrial swashbuckling.
Maybe it's on the coast, like in Oregon.
That's true.
It could be. Yeah, that's true. The guy could be wearing, you know, quite wet shoes.
Option three, Lady Sylvia steals a mysterious skull and uses it to erotically worship her pagan god, the White Worm, a massive malevolent beast that starts murdering virgins. Option four, after his family is swallowed, Gareth Menickety teams up with a mad scientist to defeat a slippery invertebrate terrorizing his township. Or finally, an old and bitter worm lives alone in a decrepit old house. All the other worms believe it's haunted. But when a worm kid has the courage to knock on the old worm's door, a friendship is formed.
And the old worm learns a few new tricks, namely love and compassion for others, but also for himself.
Evan definitely wrote that one.
That's beautiful.
It's five quite different films here.
I think
is that the one that focuses most heavily on the lair aspect?
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems to be more about the relationships between the worms. So,
I mean, they use the lair as a vehicle to get to the human condition or worm condition.
Yeah, the lair is one of the characters in the film.
I mean, cinema in the 80s was a crazy time. Mm. There's a lot going on.
Back to the Future. Back to the Future 2.
Mm.
Rambo. Rambo 2.
Yeah.
I feel like any of these could be like cult.
The Goonies?
The Goonies too. do you need to hear any of those again? I'll run you through them a little
quick. Quick summary.
So you got the down on his luck caretaker, who's a grave robber, but can't do that anymore because of the worms. I think I tried to summarize that and I said as many words as the original.
Sure.
The low budget knockoff of Indiana Jones. We got the swashbuckler. Lady Sylvia. Erotically worshipping a pagan god, which is a white worm, aka a massive malevolent beast,
but
is murdering virgins.
But how does it know they're virgins?
How does the white worm know they're virgins?
It doesn't say it in the thing, but like also how does it, you know, like
right?
What boundaries does it use for knowing like that something is a virgin? You know, like is it like full on sex? Did they have to have full on sex?
Well, what do you define as full on sex?
Like full on?
Oh, yeah.
It's like if somebody's having sex with you and they're like eating a really juicy sandwich over the top of you.
That is full on.
You're like, oh, it's full on.
So the white worm maybe has drawn the line there. Just on the side of like a juicy,
juicy
regular sex is fine. Still a virgin, obviously. Yeah. But if there's sandwiches involved,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so slop it all over me.
He's a sloppy Joe. I'm ready, you know?
Yeah.
There's those teen coming of age films where the symbol is they've gone to Sloppy Joe's Burgeria. Yeah. Is that what you call them over in North America?
That's what I call them in North America. Back in Canada, that's what we call them.
Then we had Gareth Menickety, who had to team up with a mad scientist after his family was swallowed. Or we had the old and bitter worm living alone in what was thought to be a haunted house, but he ends up finding himself.
Mm. That's a good one, though.
So there's five great options.
Yeah.
I'd watch any of these films. In fact, I'd fund any of these films.
Really?
Yeah.
Any of them.
You get me a one-pager on my desk by tomorrow, I'm green-lighting all five.
Is this tomorrow when the podcast?
Tomorrow when the podcast comes out. I need a couple of days to get the money together.
I'm just going to see if my guy will go with this crazy scheme of mine.
Steven Spielberg.
Holy moly.
I think of him as my guy.
Right. He's directing the knockoff of Indiana Jones?
He won't be directing, he'll be just putting up the cash.
Oh, I see.
I'm going to go with the virgin one.
Okay.
I think.
So, something, because you thought you were worried that a worm wouldn't be able to tell if someone's a virgin, but that wasn't enough to put you off?
No. I think the magic of cinema is sometimes a worm knows you're a virgin.
There's some supernatural.
That's the magic of life.
This
worm just knows.
This worm has drawn a line, but if you think about it, this worm is also kind of a line in itself.
You know what? You're right.
It's a living line. All right, so the Lady Sylvia one for Alistair. What about you, Ev?
I think I've got to go with...
Yeah, you can't. If you go with the same as me, you cannot win. So you're going to have to...
I have to go the high-risk strategy.
You've got to go hell for leather.
The last time. I think for some reason...
What does hell for leather mean?
I don't know.
Okay. That's a question for another day.
Yeah, no.
I just said
that
it.
Like that sounds like a question for this, for this show. What is it? Gareth Menickety or something?
What a name. Gareth Menickety.
It just sounds like it could be, you know, like an 80s cult classic, like a, you know, like a cheesy horror, you know, I don't know. I think that, I mean, they all sound pretty silly to be honest, but I think that one sounds
the most realistic.
Maybe.
We're locking it in. It's got a bit of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids about it as well. But instead of shrinking the kids, they've... grown the worm.
Yeah, there's got to be.
You know, it's still perspective.
Back to the future, I don't know.
It's all about how you look at it.
All right, let's go through the answers. It's all on the line here. Anyone's game.
Yeah.
The older and bitter worm who lives alone in a decrepit old house. That was the house.
Wow. I was sure it was Evan.
Then we had a down on his luck caretaker who struggles to make a living because the worms come by. That was Evan.
Yeah.
That was me.
I mean, you would imagine most cemeteries would have a fair few worms already.
Yeah.
But I guess that you're talking about a big...
It's only a synopsis. It's so, not given the whole story. It's just it's enough to get you interested and go, worms in a cemetery.
Yeah. Yeah. Worm play.
I wonder why they've made a film about that.
Yeah.
The low budget knockoff of Indiana Jones. That was the house.
Mm.
It wasn't until rereading that I thought, would they be swashbuckling? But we talked it around.
Yeah.
And I was reconvinced that my own writing was okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So one of you is correct, that means. But it is not Evan because the Garrison Menickety one was written by Alistair. And Alistair also got the correct answer. So it's maximum 6 points to Al. Because Lady Sylvia steals a mysterious skull and uses it to erotically worship a pagan god, the White Worm. That is a real film. There's something so funny to me about someone erotically worshipping a white worm.
Yeah, worshipping in an erotic way.
Yes.
Is nice. I just imagine long bits of cloth on them and them kind of seductively looking at the worm and going.
Yeah, probably almost moving worm-like.
Moving, yeah, yeah. It's hard not to when you're squirming with horniness.
Yeah.
That's just hot.
That is hot. That's, I mean, say no more.
I think horniness is a very worm-like trait.
Yeah. Worminess and horniness. I mean, even as words, they're quite close.
Yeah, and worms, they're kind of always dry humping the land.
Mm, that's right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's how they get around. Anyways, I'm sorry, Evan.
No. I think I need to try lower risk strategies next time.
But I mean, it could have paid off.
Big swings, but not hitting much.
So I'll just give me a moment to tabulate the scores. But while I'm doing that, carry the soup. Let's not jump to any conclusions.
Okay.
Let me tell you a little bit more about the film. According to Cheryl, the question writer, The Lair of the White Worm is a 1988 British horror comedy. Which makes a bit of sense that they'd be a bit lighter. Loosely based on the 1911 Bram Stoker novel of the same name and drawing upon the English legend of the Lambton Worm. You familiar with the Bram Stoker book? I don't think I'd ever heard of it.
Neither the book nor the
Lambton Worm.
Lambton Worm.
The film was written and directed by Ken Russell and stars Amanda Donahue, Hugh Grant and Peter Capaldi. So quite a... star-studded cast.
It's a decent cast, yeah.
It was relatively well-received on Rotten Tomatoes. The critics have given it a 69%.
Very erotic number.
And how would a worm 69? It feels like that's tricky.
You could probably cut a worm in half.
Could 69 itself.
And because, you know, they then become two worms. I don't know if that's true. But then they could 69 them bloody selves.
That's true. But I believe it's also not true. I think one half of the worm dies and the other half can live.
Yeah.
Well, something like that.
But but imagine trying.
But imagine.
That's very erotic.
Oh, that is very erotic. I don't know if a headless worm can 69.
No,
but it's got a bit of a tree falling in the woods type philosophical question. Yeah,
but imagine if the butt started getting very mouthy. It was a gassy worm and you go, oh, my bad, I'll still get one in. I don't know.
I don't know. A butt that doesn't quit.
Yeah, a butt that won't quit. A worm butt that won't quit.
So the critics seem to like, you know, basically 69. It's not a bad score on Rotten Tomatoes.
No.
But Roger Ebert did not like it writing. Ooh. Director Ken Russell was once, and no doubt will be again, considered an important director. This is the sort of exercise he could film with one hand tied behind his back.
Mm.
And it looks like that was indeed more or less his approach.
Oh. Brutal.
That is rough.
As a guy who's directed, is it difficult to do it one-handed?
I don't know if you actually need two hands to direct a film.
Yeah.
You might not think that, but Evan, it shows. Roger Ebert's sitting back going, that's like a one-handed effort.
And he's writing it with both hands, holding the same pen.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a two-handed backhand penmanship style.
Two-handed backhand? Okay.
That's a tennis pen thing.
Okay.
He learned penmanship on the courts.
He's got a pen. He's got a pen like a broomstick, yeah. And he's just he holds it. And he kind of he writes. Looks like he's stirring a big pot big pot of gruel.
Okay,
that's Roger Ebert for you. Yeah.
Well, he's dead now.
So. Yeah. Well.
Oh, Evan. Since we brought him up,
yeah,
you did look pretty angry about him having a swap at one of your directing heroes. Yeah.
What?
Have you heard of that director?
No.
Okay. No. All right, I've added up the scores, and here they are. In third place on the podium, on 2 points, it's Evan Munro Smith.
You did really good, Evan.
Thank you.
In second place on 5 points, it's The House, but out in front, way out in front on 11 points, it's ATB, Alistair Tremblay-Birchall.
Yes, I don't win normally.
Oh, you're a winner in
today.
You're 100%
this
on
could
this
be,
show.
This could be my sport.
This could be. We're going to have to do an episode with you and Andy because you're both one from one.
Really?
It'll be a real showdown.
Oh, yeah. An all-stars.
Yeah.
Game. Yeah.
But I reckon you two know you would know each other too well to be able to fool each other. That would be my theory.
Oh, that would be a very psychological game because I'll have to try to not write like me.
Yeah.
I was surprised. You two, really interesting. You two tricked each other a few times. Yeah. Yeah. Surprising. Yeah.
It's a fair bit of tricking. I failed with my cafefe.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Well, you won, Al.
Thank you.
You're going to go on to win in life as well. And if people want to come and watch you win, well, where can they do it?
My goodness. You can come and watch me win during the comedy festival in sort of end of March, April. I'm going to do a stand-up show called Alistair Tremblay-Birchall in brackets, no relation. But you know, and the tickets are on sale. If you go to comedy, if you Google comedy festival, Alistair Tremblay-Birchall, like that, it'll come up. Be one of the first results.
Hey, they could be the early birds getting the white worm.
Exactly. I don't think a single ticket has been sold yet. So,
you could be the one to get.
You
the
could
first
be the
ticket.
First one. Get in there. Yeah.
Get it, and then tag Frankie Muniz and Alistair Tremblay-Birchall in a tweet,
exactly,
saying how much you love sausage, and how much you love
how much you
Alistair Tremblay-Birchall's comedy festival show,
and having the first ticket,
yeah.
Get in there. Break that
Isn't
ice.
Isn't a sausage much like a worm?
Really, it is. Mm. It's a worm on a pan.
Yeah.
Worm on a plate. And then also you can get me on Twitter at AlistairTB or on Instagram at ATremblayBirchall. Or you can find me on a Tune Think Tank podcast with Andy Matthews, the guy who knows everything about me.
And Evan Munro-Smith, where can people find you?
You can find me hosting Gamey Game, which is a YouTube show about video games, but mostly just a comedy chat panel-y show, mostly a bit of a muck around. And on the release day of this episode of this podcast, we have our last episode coming out, which is our Christmas episode, which has Alistair Tremblay-Birchall and Matt Stewart.
We're about to go record it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do some sort of undercover reference back to this episode on Gamey Game.
Okay.
Just for the true believers.
All right.
Who've come across from one to the other.
Yep.
Look out for
it. I'm going to say, white worm. And Naomi's going to say, worm. Fuck you, Matt.
Yeah.
And I won't say no. Another word for the rest of the episode.
I'm going to say, no, it's erotic. White worms are erotic.
All right, great. I'm looking forward to that riff. So
free pan riffs.
If you enjoyed,
are there any better?
Yeah.
If you enjoyed this this show, go continue on and go watch Gamey Game. We're going to be talking about Garfield Lasagna Party, which is
Garfield loves lasagna almost as much as he hates Mondays. They're the two things I know about him.
Wonder if there's any Mondays in the game.
Oh, got to defeat Monday. That's the big boss at the end.
Oh, big boss.
That would be a fun. Yeah, I don't think that's more fun than what the game actually is, but.
And this is the one you've chosen for your year finale.
Yep.
Love it. Very Christmassy topic as well.
Mm.
People can also find me at the Comedy Festival this year. Go see Al's show. Come see my show. It's called Ding. And, it's on at the Chinese Museum. Nice and early. I think it's on at like 6:30 or something.
I'm on at like 6:30 as well.
Oh. And we clash, but we can go have dinner afterwards.
I'd love that. Do you eat noodles?
I can eat noodles.
Yeah, but you wouldn't. You don't normally.
I certainly wouldn't. I think of them like worms.
White worms.
All of a sudden, I can't stop thinking about everything like worms.
I find noodles to be very erotic.
Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. As we are still a rather new show, it'd be great if you'd help get the word out there. Please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends if you think they might like it.
Mm.
And cheers for tuning in to Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. And now that you know it, I've been Matt Stewart. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.